So hey everybody, we're on Voices from the Front Lines on 90.7 FM and KPFK in Los Angeles. We're down in Jackson, Mississippi on the 50th anniversary of Freedom Summer. I'm very happy to be talking to Dr. Beverly Hogan, the 13th president of Tougaloo College, first woman president, and try to drive many themes, including the importance of historically black colleges and universities today in the age of so-called non-racialism, so or racism, perhaps.
Post-racial society.
Yes. So let's go back to 1964 for a minute. How did that impact you? Where were you in 1964? Were you alive? And seriously, and then I was there. I was in Harlem in 1964, working with the Congress of Racial Equality. And obviously that shaped my whole life. Where were you in 1964?
Well, actually in 1964, I was 13 years old, living with my mother and father in a small community in Mississippi. It's called the Mount Wade community, between Terry and Crystal Springs. It's about 35 miles south of here. I was not unaware of what was going on because people in my community were talking about things that were happening in Jackson, things that were happening around the state. We were aware of the Freedom Riders that had come through a few years before, and we were aware of all the volunteers that were coming into Jackson, Mississippi to register people to vote. And of course, you know, and even in that community, there were people, my parents included, who were registering to vote. So there were a lot of conversation, there was a lot of tension, and there were a lot of whispered comments about how things were changing, how things were not going to remain the same, and that there were really no turning back. And we would watch the news and see what was, and keep up with that. People would gather at our homes on Friday night and Saturdays and weekends, and they would watch television and share information and sit on the front porch and talk about the change and how important it was and how things had been and just those kinds of things, reflecting on the mood of the state and what was happening in Washington, D.C. and keeping up with all those kinds of things. And of course, everybody was pretty tensed and still a little bit frustrated and depressed and a little bit embittered by the whole assassination of Medgar Evers the previous year in June during that summer. So those all things were coming connected. I was not of an age to be involved myself, but I was of an age to understand. And I was of an age for that whole movement and the mood of the state and the change that was coming about to influence my perceptions, my views, and even my own actions and the journey that I would want to travel myself as an adult and choosing how I would serve and make a difference in my time.
So what was the next life choice you made in the forks in the road?
Well, actually, when I graduated from high school, I didn't come directly to Tougaloo College. I went to a college in the Mississippi Delta, which was an eye-opening experience for me because I began to see some of the things that I had only heard about because growing up in my community, it was a smaller, safer community, more protected community. I was surrounded by family and close friends. And I went to the Mississippi Delta for that year of college. That's where I met Fannie Lou Hamer. Mm-hmm. I met Charles Evers. It was a state-supported institution. And we started out registering people, getting involved in activities in the community. The first experience I had gone to this grocery store and I saw all of these kids in the back of a truck in the middle of the day. And my first question was, why aren't they in school? And I did not know that young people in the Mississippi Delta, the students had an abbreviated school system. So that was one of the things. And I started talking to my parents about that because I didn't understand that. And I felt that they had not been open enough with me to tell me about the realities. And then when we were registering people to vote in that little small town of Itabena, I saw these houses and there were several people living in that. And I saw such extreme poverty and that really tapped my conscience. And that's when I went to hear Fannie Lou Hamer at a church there. And we signed up to be volunteers to register people to vote. So that was my first time stepping out and doing that. And then I transferred to Tougaloo College, where my parents had initially wanted me to go. And certainly Tougaloo was very embracing and very reaffirming of the values and the ideals that I held as part of my value system and what I wanted to do. So, and enlarged that by all of the speakers and people that will come into this campus. And then I learned of Tougaloo's history with the whole movement and what it had meant to the state of Mississippi and even how it had helped to influence the nation. So that was part of my education. So I think it was destined. I was destined to take that route, and I was destined to end up here as a student at Tougaloo College.
Well, during 64, there was obviously the Highlander Folk School mm-hmm. in Tennessee. And then my understanding was that Tougaloo was one of the few places where there could be a black and white conversation.
There was. Tougaloo College was the only place in Mississippi where people, blacks and whites, could gather without fear of reprisal. Jews could come here, Muslims could come here. Didn't matter what your religious preference was, it didn't matter what ethnicity you were, it did not matter your origin. This was an inclusive community. In fact, even during that time, Tougaloo College's faculty was comprised of a large diverse group of people, men and women, blacks and whites, different ethnic groups. Some were from the south, some were from the north, east and west. So you had the geographical diversity as well. And I think that's what made this campus a really rich experience for the students who were attending there. Many times students came from places, and this was their first opportunity to interface with a person who was not African American, and to meet them as an equal. And I think that helped to shape the education of the students here at Tougaloo as well.
And wasn't Ed King, who was working with the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party, wasn't he from Tougaloo?
Ed King, a native Mississippian, a native white Mississippian, was a chaplain here at Tougaloo College during those days. And Ed had a tremendous influence on the students and helping to engage them in social activism. And because he was very close to Medgar Evers and was very much involved out front on social change in Mississippi and breaking down those barriers of Jim Crow.
Well, what leads you to be the president of the university? I mean, tell us quick up and then let's come back to right now what you plan to do.
Let me say this. I always call myself the accidental president because I was not on a track to become president. I had gone into the field of mental health, and I was a mental health professional, and then I was asked to head up a mental health program. I spent most of my career as in executive level management, whether it was of a mental health agency, whether it was a government official. I was appointed to head up the large agency in state government, up with the governor of the Governor's Office of Federal State Programs. It was the first time an African-American woman, or African-American period, had served in that kind of capacity. Commissioner for the Mississippi Workers' Compensation Commission, and I had done all those things. I had been an adjunct instructor during those times, but I was not on a track to become a college president. In 1997, Tougaloo College asked me to join the administration as administrator, and I was helping to develop the health and wellness complex. That's what they asked me to do, to develop this health and wellness center that was under construction to get the programs there. I joined that. I thought, well, this is my opportunity to get out of the fishbowl and go to work at a place I dearly love. So I saw that as that opportunity, and I played musical chairs when I got here. I was the director of the Health and Wellness Center, founding director of that program, and then I served as executive assistant to the president, and then I served as vice president of institutional advancement, then interim president, then president. Within the 5 years, I had done those things, and in May of 2002, the college trustees named me president of the college. I made a 2-year commitment until they could do the search, and I've just completed my 12th year on my 2-year commitment. And it's been one of the most rewarding experiences of my career.
Well, one of the things that's hard to get people to do is know how to run things. You know, like I'm a director of a civil rights organization, and first started, it's called the Labor Community Strategy Center. I said, okay, I'm an organizer, this should be easy, and I'll just help start this institution. And they said, well, but you have to have a 501c3, then you have to have a license, then you have to have this, and you have to have workers' compensation, you have to have insurance, you have to have this. I'm going, wait a minute, and then guess what? You got to raise money. And raising money has become a big part of my revolutionary activity, and I'm sure as a president of the university, am I fair to say that a significant part of what you wake up in the morning is how to make this budget?
Absolutely. I wake up in the morning and I go to bed at night thinking about money, thinking about how I'm, as an independent college, Tougaloo depends upon donations, tuition, and fees. So it's not like I get a check from the state every month to make out my budget. I have to go out and raise it among people of goodwill, people, alumni, and other friends, corporation, foundations. So yes, that has been part of what I've done most of my life, because you're right. If you are executive director or director of anything, part of it is your responsibility to make sure that you have the financial resources to be able to achieve the goals that you have. So I've spent, when I came to Tougaloo, I had 25 years of executive level management and those kind of areas. But surprisingly, everyone told me that I would be a college president, even the governor of the state for whom I was working at that time. And when I joined Tougaloo College administration, so many people told me, they said, you're going to be the next president of Tougaloo College. And I was like, no, that is not what I do. I don't do that. That's not what I do. But I guess that sometimes when they say that, the things that are meant for you will happen. And in this case, I think it was meant for me to do this. And it did happen because I did not seek it.
Well, let's talk about the endowed chair for civil rights.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
We have we are working on raising dollars for an endowed chair of civil rights. Given Tougaloo College's deep and strong legacy in civil rights, we thought it was fitting to have a chair here. Someone will come and occupy that so that we can begin not only to teach the history of this college, but teach the history of the state and the nation and what civil rights was all about and what civil rights continues to be about for the students of today. And we wanted to make sure that we had the resources to have a recognized scholar in this area that could come and fill this chair. Dr. Jim Lowens, who came here to teach in the 60s, and he's written several books. James Lowens, who is a noted sociologist, has headed up this effort and has put a lot of energy into helping to reach out to people and to publicize the Civil Rights Endowed Chair. And we're hoping that in a year or so that we will have raised the money that we could bring a person on to occupy this chair.
So in terms of the listeners of Voices from the Frontlines, I've been made very clear that I cannot advocate that you give money to something. But that doesn't mean that Dr. Hogan cannot. So if they were interested in helping with this endowed chair, how would they reach you?
They can reach the college by our website, www.tougaloo.edu. And there is a space on our website where they can make their donations online. But they can also send their contribution to Tougaloo College, 500 West County Line Road, Tougaloo, Mississippi, 39174. They can call me directly at 601-977-7730, and I would be happy to answer their questions, to send them information about the endowed chair, any other aspects of Tougaloo College. I can tell the listening audience out there that I know that every day people get up, including myself, with any number of causes which they can support, any number of things, opportunities to invest and make a difference, and feel that they have shared their blessings with others. But I know from my experience with Tougaloo College for more than 40 years as a student and as a volunteer and as an employee, that an investment in Tougaloo College will net great dividends and returns on that. Tougaloo is a small college, but Tougaloo has had powerful impact, not just because it was the epicenter for the civil rights movement, this intellectual battleground for that movement, but because of the products that Tougaloo College continues to turn out today. As a small college in Mississippi, 40% of the doctors, African-American doctors, who practice in Mississippi alone earn their undergraduate education here at Tougaloo.
Wow.
35% of the lawyers and the educators, whether they're school principals or whether they're superintendents or whether they're classroom teachers, college presidents, they earn their undergraduate degrees here at Tougaloo College. Tougaloo is listed among the top U.S. institutions, according to the National Science Foundations, whose graduates go on to earn their PhD degrees in the science and engineering disciplines. We're always listed on the among the best colleges, with the Princeton Review, with the U.S. News and World Report, and the Washington Monthly, that in addition to looking at other aspects of the college, they really look at the upward mobility of the alumni, the research capacity of the faculty, and based on the, in terms of the number of Pell-eligible students that the institution serves. So they look at this in totality, and Tougaloo College has always ranked high. Our alumni have made one extremely meaningful contributions to the betterment of society. One of the things we always say, that wherever you find a Tougaloo College alum, you will find an individual working to change the world. And that's something common among the students. They learn that here. They are good leaders and they're effective citizens, and they have made a tremendous impact in Mississippi and in the nation and even in the international communities. So Tougaloo is a very good investment for anyone. We keep our tuition low. We serve a significant percentage of low, it's still Pell eligible students, but our graduation rates are competitive with better endowed schools, and our success rate, the outcome for our students speak for itself, and they go out and do well.
So I wonder why they elected Beverly Hogan the president of Tougaloo College. I can't imagine that she represents something so well, so effectively. And just to our listeners, you know, there are a lot of choices out there, but in terms of here we are on the 50th anniversary of Mississippi Summer and thinking about a meaningful contribution, to think about the historical black colleges and universities, think about Tougaloo, and think about an endowed chair for civil rights. I think it would be a great way to commemorate the 50th anniversary, and if you're interested, please get in touch with the doctor right now. So, this was it. You've been listening to Voices from the Frontlines. This is Dr. Beverly Hogan, the president of Tougaloo College. We're in Jackson, Mississippi. And I think you see, again, the continuities of the civil rights struggle, the impact, and Mississippi trying to move from a perception of a backward state to Mississippi, especially led by the black community, trying to be an advanced state to teach them social justice to the rest of the United States.